In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. John's Gospel reading today is the perfect preparation for Pentecost, which is next Sunday, so be sure and wear red. Jesus stands with his disciples praying that empowering prayer of presence, promise, and power. Jesus looks up to heaven, posturing for the disciples how prayer works. He lifts up his eyes. He asks God for help. He prays to glorify the Father. And Jesus requests that all who follow him be given the gift of eternal life, that intimate relationship with the Father and the Son, requesting that they may be one as we are one. This part of John's Gospel is known as Jesus' farewell prayer. Jesus was the ultimate intercessor for the disciples. It is something like Moses' farewell speech in Exodus, where Moses blessed the Israelites with the hymn of praise to God, the Song of Moses. This farewell prayer in John's Gospel comes as Jesus' last announcement. I have overcome the world. My hour has come. His hour, meaning it is now time for his death, which brought the meat and drink for Christian living. Knowing all things would change with his death, Jesus used prayer to prepare the way for the disciples to experience oneness with the Father. And when Jesus prayed, he modeled the confidence of asking and receiving, that intimate union with God. If there's one thing we all know and perhaps would rather not embrace, is that change is inevitable in life. I was very fortunate as a child in many ways. I was raised in a small town with my grandparents just a few blocks from where my home was. My ancestors had helped settle this small town of about 6,000 people, so everyone knew my family by name. Day-to-day life was simple, and it seemed nothing changed, with the exception of the timely death of the elderly, which was expected. When I was 19, I could hardly wait to leave home for what I thought was the real world. I married my high school sweetheart. 2 years later, we had a baby girl and set off for a tour with my second lieutenant husband for the Panama Canal Zone. It was frightening for my mom and dad. They were small town folks, and the idea that I was heading for Panama felt like I was going to the moon to them. As we flew over the canal zone, the first sign of housing that I saw were thatched huts. I can remember thinking, okay, I hope there's indoor plumbing. Being a young woman of means in America, I had no idea what living on the other side of the United States would be like. In the military, when there's no housing on post, you're forced to live on the economy, which meant that you would live with the local people. There were no thatched huts in downtown Panama, but the housing was quite unique. There were very tall apartment buildings where everyone hung their laundry out their apartment windows to dry. My husband was away 30 days at a time training with the Army, so I was on my own. My thrill of change and wonder quickly waned as I embraced a new culture where Americans were not always welcomed. I was not able to drive because my American driver's license was not valid in Panama, so in order to get milk and bread, I had to walk several blocks to a Spanish-speaking grocery store where few people spoke English, and my Spanish was limited. It took only a few weeks before the joy of my new adventure turned to the longing for that small town in America where safety rarely was an issue. You see, my precious baby girl had blonde hair, which made her a prime candidate for abduction. So every time I left my apartment, I knew that in the blink of an eye, my blonde-headed baby girl could be gone. Life had changed forever for me. I'd been raised in the church where prayer was offered as needed. I can't say I prayed every day or even had ever been exposed to a rule of life. In my desperation and loneliness in Panama, God became my constant companion. He spoke English, and his word was my hope for a life of freedom again. Life had changed forever for the disciples. They knew that something important was to happen, but they were uncertain about what it was going to be. Their life with Jesus was changing. The hour had come for Jesus to face his death. An everyday life of constant contact with Jesus was ending as the disciples knew it. Knowing the end of his earthly life was certain, Jesus asked God's protection for his confused and frightened disciples. It was as if Jesus knew that the disciples would fail badly in the next few hours and days as they witnessed him arrested and then executed. Jesus goes straight to the Father for help. At the center of Jesus' farewell prayer, Jesus petitions God to care for his disciples as he has cared for Jesus. Listen again to his prayer. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given to him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus prayed for the love he shared with the Father to be experienced and shared with his followers. This was Jesus' petition for unity in community. I've been in my new position in pastoral care at St. Martin's for about 4 weeks now. And during this time, there have been some 13 or 14 deaths. I marvel as I witness those passing from this life to the next. It's as if someone has prayed their farewell prayer, and they seem to have all the confidence in the world in passing from this earth into heaven. It's as if Jesus' farewell prayer was spoken just for them, and God was honoring his promise to open wide the gates of heaven with a welcome home, good and faithful servant banner. Death is a part of life, and Jesus' farewell prayer teaches us how to live. It's our model for life on earth. In John's gospel, it is prayer that transforms us from selfish to selfless followers, looking up to heaven, asking for assistance to grow in our faith and to do God's work in the world. Prayer guides us, empowers us, and strengthens us to follow Christ. Prayer enables our eyes to be opened so we can see, and our minds to be open so we believe. Prayer allows us to embrace a close personal relationship between the Father and Jesus with absolute security that his guidance, of his guidance, constant company, unfailing care, and sacrificial love. As I was preparing for this sermon today, I received a call from a dear friend to tell me that another good friend of ours, Janet, had breast cancer. It was such shocking news that I felt lightheaded. My friend Janet is a spiritual director, wonderful mother, grandmother, wife, and friend to many. She's faithful in her ministry and devoted to our Lord. After some time to sit with the news, I called Janet to talk through how she was doing. She didn't answer the phone, so I had to leave a message. After the beep, I said, "Janet, this is Mary Wilson," and tears began to fall down my cheeks. I couldn't speak. The message machine said, "If you're happy with your message, hit 1. If you would like to leave your message, hit 2. And if you would like to delete your message and re-record your message, hit 3. I hit 3 and hoped I could speak. I left a message, and in a couple of hours, Janet called me back. We talked and we cried together. "It's not that we don't know all that I have just said to you is true. But when life changes, we, like the disciples, often feel confused and frightened. Uncertainty can bring fear, and the hour seems to have come too soon. These are the times when empowering prayer moves in a fast-forward pace. We look up to heaven, we ask for God's mercy, and we long for God's protection and companion. In our desperation and loneliness, we plead for God as our constant connection. Jesus' death meant that he was returning to the Father, making a way for the disciples and for you and for me to come to God. His return brought new certainty in prayer and opened the way for the Holy Spirit to be with us always. Jesus accomplished all he set out to do in his lifetime. He made God known to the disciples as he makes God known to you and to me today. And through empowering prayer, our lives will be shaped by the truth of God's word. We are given the power to relinquish our will, to allow thy will be done, accepting eternal life awaits us all. Let us pray. Holy Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. Enable us to live our lives trusting in the power of your word. Be with us this day. Empower us to do your will. Enable us to know you are the only true God. And then help us, we pray, to glorify your name in our work on earth. When our hour comes, may our banner read, "Welcome home, good and faithful servant." Amen.